FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club, right here on North Manchester 106.6 FM. I'm your host Cockers, and this week we'll be bringing you highlights and reaction from Saturday's league fixture with Bamber Bridge from Broadhurst Park. And for all the build-up now, let's hand over to Ben and Woodso in the main stand.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to Broadhurst Park. You join us here on a Saturday afternoon ahead of FC United against Bamber Bridge in the third last game of the season. League,
The pre-penultimate game.
Yeah, in brackets. In the league. Again in brackets.
Well,
joining me for a little pre-match chat now, ahead of this afternoon's game here in North Manchester. The only show in town, it appears, because everywhere else is getting postponed, left, right and centre. It's a big welcome back to Woodso. Welcome back.
I mean, you call it a show. I mean, you know, let's see what happens, shall we? Let's not get too carried away.
There's no reason for today's game to be anything.
No, you've just been saying that, haven't you?
Really?
Yeah.
You've been away.
I have.
Alan Wicker style.
Oh, well,
you've been touring.
Suburbs of Paris.
Like, you've done a good job.
It was good, yeah.
So how was Vinsky on Wednesday?
Expensive when you were talking expensive taxis back to the airport, yeah. I just did a day, 7 o'clock flight in the morning, 10 o'clock back. It was a good day. It was basically the equivalent of playing the game in Preston.
Yeah.
It was an hour away out of Paris. And, you know, it's...
Sorry, is this Dom Jolly?
Yeah. Oh, good interview. No, it's rubbish. So, yeah, well, once we got there, it was good, but it just seemed like we were never going to get there. Longest motorway journey in history, it felt like. But no, it was good. It was a good performance, you know. They were feisty again.
Yeah, I mean, that was always going to be the worry, wasn't it? After the Vinsky game here at Broadhurst, which was a bit feisty, Vinsky, to be fair to them, did really well for the first 80-odd minutes or so, and then... We managed to.
I mean, they were never going to. Yeah, they were never going to lay a glove on us, really.
They were the best team in the group other than ourselves, so it was always going to be tough at their place.
It was just frustrating where, you know, the first 15 minutes, their right winger put in about four bad tackles. There wasn't as much of that going on, and once we'd scored early on. It wasn't that early on, actually. We should have scored early on. We missed some chances. The referee was. Shall we say, I think he was from the Morpeth area, shall we say. In fact, he made him look like Keith Hackett. To be fair, depending on your opinions of Keith Hackett back in the day. But 4-0, it was as comfortable as that. You know, the chance that FC missed in the first half alone would have made it, I mean, Neil just said when Alfie came on, it was only 2-0. It probably should have been about 4 or 5 already at half-time with a few one-on-ones that was missed. And their keeper made 2 or 3 blind. Different keeper. It wasn't the how he stood on me foot keeper from the first game. It was a different one. And he pulled 3 great saves.
Well, he had a good game in it back here, bro.
He had a good game, back when somebody stood on his foot and he tried to make. I mean, when you watch it back, it was his mate and not one of our players.
Well, someone did stand on his foot.
Just not who we thought it was.
That's the group stages and the Phoenix Trophy done. Next stop in that competition is the finals in May.
Yeah.
And we'll cover
two English clubs, if not three, possibly out of four.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. But, we'll cover
that.
Obviously, the Phoenix Trophy in May. Now.
Anyway.
Bamber Bridge. In a follow-on from last week's game against Hyde United. We never spoke at Ewan Fields because you were too busy doing an impression of one of the minders in Mary Poppins in that scene where they all got blown down the street.
Well, also on the other side. Had a lovely kebab before the game from that caravan. They called it a mash-up.
Mash-up
on pit, and it was chicken tikka and red doner with salad and hot sauce. It was nice.
Speaking of catering, the last time we played Bamber Bridge... at their place. And they had salt and pepper chips.
How good were they?
Anyway, that's catering corner.
Yeah, that's catering corner done, yeah.
FC United last week were very...
lackluster.
They were involved in the first half, but then the second half they got blown away.
Pointless. I mean, to be fair, the Hyde keepers pulled off 3 worldies.
Yes.
One of them, I think we scored off, so whether that counts. But some say 2 worldies to keep us out, one in the first half, one in the second half. We let in a soft first half goal. Which, from my angle, looked like he handballed it, but no one appealed for it, no one from your side said it looked like from the terrace opposite you. It looked like he put his hand there and knocked it down, Redshaw, with his hand. Oh. But none of the players did, so...
And there was a penalty shot, of course.
Oh, yes, I can't remember it now.
It was Gilboy through, and...
I forgot about that.
No one cares about that, but it was so blatant. We will hear from Neil in a second. What are you expecting for Bamber Bridge today in this game here?
You said in Neil's interview there, which hasn't
spoilers.
Happened. Which hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
This is a mid-table class. I think you've been very generous. It's a
lower mid-table.
Lower mid-table class. It might well be that. But then again, having said that, two teams who are not playing for anything, might produce either. It'll either be a stinker.
It's got
be. Or it'll be a 5-all thriller.
There's absolutely no reason for any cautiousness.
Exactly.
This game,
so it could be absolutely brilliant, or it could just be really bad.
It's got to be 3-all.
I'm going for. Well, we've had a 3-all already against them. Don't remind us about that.
It's got to be 3-all. No, but that was a clumsy 3-all.
That was a clumsy 3-all.
That wasn't a thrilling 3-all.
Just go for it.
It needs to be better than it was last week.
Of course it does. Of course it does. I mean, Hyde. The only thing. I read something on the internet somewhere. Somebody said if Hyde qualify for the playoffs, good luck. It's a bye.
It's a bit harsh.
They weren't great, were they? I mean, they weren't great. But
I think there was a bit of nerves for them as well.
There possibly was. I mean, obviously they're getting there, but that game was there to be won.
Yeah,
I actually think. I know a lot of people said that second half quite rightly, so it wasn't great. I think we should have come away with something. The first half performance deserved it. But we didn't, so just take the shackles off today. There shouldn't be any shackles on now, but should there? But just, I mean, you know, you'll hear the lineup in a minute. It sounds attacking, so let's just see where he goes with it and see what happens. But yeah, 3-all.
Well, Woods, a big thank you for joining us pre-match.
Thanks,
right. Have a lovely afternoon watching the game, and a big thank you to Neil Reynolds, who joined us moments ago for his pre-match interview. Neil, a big welcome back to England and to Broadhurst Park. Before we talk about the Bamber Bridge game, just a bit of a catch-up after your trip to France. How was midweek at Vinsky?
It's brilliant. It's kind of surreal. I'm studying next to Woods over here, and you know, last time we spoke, we were in Paris, and the sun was shining, and then we're back in Moston, and the rain's been falling. So, no, listen, Ben, it's been a brilliant experience. It's, you know, I know some people criticise the competition, but for me, it's just all positive. You know, the way that the lads fly out together. I thought the French was excellent, the way they looked after us, the way they transported us around. Charlie and myself flew out early and we got to see some sights in Paris. The lads, five of the lads, hired a car and went into Paris at night to have a look at the sights. And then we watched the City game together. We got up in the morning, had breakfast, went to a shopping centre, and then we played the game. And all in all, it was a really good workout. People talk about the level of opposition, but you've got to beat what's in front of you. And at times this season, you know, we haven't beaten what's in front of us. So for me, it's just positive and some really good performances. And then we got back. The lads were in training Thursday night, and then we're here today.
And a good experience as well for the younger players. Obviously, we've got some Phoenix Trophy veterans in the squad, but you did give an opportunity to a couple of the young lads.
I mean, all season we've been monitoring the lads in the academy, Dom Doyle, Bob Jammer, and then two have just jumped, you know, Elliot and Alfie, you know, and why not? You know, they've had fantastic seasons for the academy. Places came available. Bob and Dom stayed at home, and I had no qualms about throwing them on, and I think we threw them on at 2-0, and we ended the game 4-0, and they both equipped themselves really well. And on the back of that, Ben Alfie's found himself in the squad today. Brilliant. Because he gave a really mature performance. It's what the first team lad said, he's really mature for his age and did really well.
Great stuff. And we'll get to the squad and the team selection in a second or two. But Bamber Bridge this afternoon, it has been raining. I know the Bury game up the road's been called off. I think the ground staff who just arrived moments before the pitch inspection did a cracking job forking it.
Yeah, I'm glad they were here and not at Bury, you know, to be honest. You know, so yeah, Bury got called off and they got straight here. But yeah, they did. The two young lads were brilliant. They've got here. And they've definitely, you know, what Andy's done this week. You can see how green the pitch is. He's put a fertiliser programme on there. But he looks great. It's just that same area in front of us that's been a little bit questionable today, but it's firm underfoot and the game's going to go ahead.
What are you hoping for in this game this afternoon? Because it's a bit of a mid-table affair, isn't it, really?
So what you're going to see today, two good footballing sides. Jamie Milligan, he'll tell you, you know, last season, I've said this time and time again, there's always one side that gets lucky in a season, you know, and I think Rylands are that side this season, you know, very much a settled team. Bamber Bridge were that lucky side last season, very much settled team. But when you don't have the investment, Jamie struggled this season, you know, and it's not because he's a bad manager, he's a fantastic manager, he's just not had the resources available, he's had injuries, he couldn't bring people in, and unfortunately as managers you take that to heart. But Millie's a great manager, great friend of mine. He's suspended today, so we've got similar things in common, even though right. I'm not suspended today, but he is. But no, listen, Brigg are a good side. They're a good footballing side. Obviously, we know the links that we've got. Potsy will play today. Doddy's injured. But, you know, they're very much part of this football club, of our football club. So it'll be a good game of football, two teams going for it. And you say nothing to play for. Jamie's come out in his interview and said that he's fed up of kind of having lacklustre players that it doesn't mean a lot to. So he wants to recruit in the summer. We know we've got recruitment to do in the summer. So, but two managers that are still really hungry and two sides that will go toe-to-toe in a really good football game.
So team selection today, Neil, how are we lining up?
So Charlie Oliver misses. He's got work commitments. George Murray-Jones couldn't travel in midweek because he had a tight hip flexor, but he's back today.
Good.
So George comes in as one. The only change in the back four will be Jan. Jan will come in and partner CJ, will captain the side today. Guy and Joe Ferguson either side. Then we'll have a midfield two of Munro and McLaughlin. And then we'll go with two wingers in Bennett and Gabidon. And then two front men in Gilboy and Buckley.
Right.
You know, Lewis Gilboy has struggled in front of goal this season, but maybe that goal in midweek has just given him that impetus. What Lewis does is he has work rate and energy and enthusiasm in abundance. And it was one of them, do we throw Bob in today, but the pitch is heavy, you know, and it's not like playing on the 3G. So going with a bit more workmanlike performance, hopefully, you know, we can get the ball forward quickly. But we're hoping to just build on the back of a really good week in Paris. And we know that the season is very much alive. People say it's not, but we haven't selected a squad for Guardi yet. We've only got 16 places available. So people want to get on the plane. They've got to show me now.
And looking forward to this afternoon.
Can't wait. You know, it's always obviously special game for me, Bamber Bridge. They're all special, but Bamber Bridge is one that you look for in the calendar, especially when they come to Broadhurst Park. But we're just looking, you know, people say you're looking forward to the end of the season. No, because I can't stand the end of the season. You know, for me, there's loads of football to play, and it starts here today against Brigg. It will go to Guiseley and then here against Lancaster before we head out to Garda. So loads of football to play. Hopefully we'll get a good crowd on today and they can get behind the lads and, you know, maybe not give Potsy too many songs. You know, our lads need that motivation behind them as well. So, you know, but, you know, may the best team win.
Well, Neil, big thank you for joining us pre-match and all the best this afternoon.
Brilliant. Cheers, Ben.
Neil Reynolds there speaking to me about half an hour or so ago. And this is SCLI brought to you by constructivecoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. FC United taking on Bamber Bridge this afternoon in our third last game of the season. In brackets, in the league.
Yes.
And it's a big welcome back to Mr. Stato, Paul, to walk us through the permutations. Where can we end up, Paul?
Good afternoon, everyone. Well, the highest now, I think, is 12, and that's based on goal difference because we're way behind other clubs on the goal difference.
Yes.
The worst scenario is 17th, and the lowest ever position we've had in this division is 13th, which
right,
we've had twice. So we want to avoid that if we can.
Obviously, we're taking on Bamber Bridge today, and kind of in a similar position, not the seasons I don't think both clubs would have anticipated, given Bamber Bridge got to the playoff finals last year. FC United with a hope of getting there or thereabouts this year. It's just not worked out for either side, really.
It's quite bizarre, the Bamber Bridge story, because if you look at February, March, they were banging in goals for fun. They went on a massive goal spree and they were climbing the table a little bit at least, and it was looking like they were going to have a strong finish to the season. They've now lost five in a row, which is, it makes our three defeats in a row look small potatoes, really, doesn't it?
Yes.
And the joint bottom of the form table now. So things have gone very badly wrong. And I think last week's defeat at home, when Gilchrist scored a hat-trick for Ashton, that's crystallised Milligan's mind about players, I think. He was really bitterly upset last week.
Jamie Milligan, incidentally, this afternoon will be in the stands with us, not commentating, because he's suspended. But
yeah,
we are coming down to the end of the season. We'll get to this game in particular shortly, but I just wanted to have a little catch-up with you, Paul, with regards to the league table more generally, because we are entering the stage now where we've not got much to play for. But there's stuff of interest to the listener, I'm sure, elsewhere in the division. Today, Radcliffe, they've already pretty much sealed the deal on goal difference, but a point this afternoon at Whitby would see them crowned champions. For Basford, if they win today, might be a bit unlikely against Macclesfield, that would relegate not just Atherton Coles but also Bradford Park Avenue. So we are getting to the stage of the season now where stuff's getting decided.
It's a very significant day, yes, at the top and the bottom, and thankfully we're not involved. Because
at the bottom, we'd like to be involved at the top if we could.
Yeah, but that was never really on this season, I think, from day one. It's much, much easier, I think, to sit here and know that we're not involved at the scrap at the bottom than wondering about other teams' results all day. Yeah, I mean, that's a blessing. But you look at today's game against the team below us on the table. We've got Guiseley, who are out of the frame.
Borderline. They can get to 70 points like Hyde.
Yeah.
But I don't think 70 points is going to be enough this year with the way Ashton and Worksop are playing.
And then our final game at home
is Lancaster. They can only get to 65. So at the moment, they can still make the playoffs, but it's a very long shot for them.
One of the major problems for the teams not involved at the top and the bottom, of course, is motivation at this stage.
Yes.
And we've seen that many years when we've not been involved in the scrap. And it's very difficult. And today, the winners will be the side that is the most motivated to win.
And this is the thing, isn't it? There's no reason, really, to be cautious or anything like that. You can go out and enjoy yourselves. It's just a case of how motivated you are to actually bother. That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
In games like this.
It's very tough to tell a set of players you've got to win today when they don't have to win today. Their futures might depend on the result, but they don't see it that way.
There is a little tiny carrot dangling in the distance, and that is the Phoenix Trophy final. We obviously played the last group game this week. Neil's mentioned it in his pre-match interview. That is a bit of a carrot. There's only 16 places.
Two of the academy went and played in midweek.
Alfie Henstock's on the bench today.
Yeah. And if you don't know about Alfie Henstock, I think he played defensive midfield for the youth team when we saw him.
We covered them in the FA Youth Cup, and they took on an Avro side who were just unbelievable.
Way ahead of
us. Way ahead.
Yeah.
But then they've grown, haven't they, that academy side. And
Are they one win away now?
Yeah, what they've produced this year in League Cup and in league competition has just been phenomenal. And you can start to see players like Jemmy, like players like Doyle and Wilkerson and Henstock, who's on the bench today.
And
they are coming through.
And it's interesting that these players have been given first team action. We've not just talked about them, he's actually given them some minutes, so it's there for them to build a career around at Broadhurst. If they want it enough, they could make it.
And just going back to that Phoenix Trophy thing as well, because it's, you say what you want about the competition in the group stages and you know scoring double figures against Dragoons and that kind of thing, but when you're talking about the finals weekend like last season at the San Siro, the season before in San Marino was pretty special. This one looks like it's going to be pretty special as well. You want to be on that plane, don't you?
Well, FC's fans have flown the flag, and yet again they've topped the drinking table, I'm sure.
Yes, but FC United definitely there. So congratulations to the first team on that feat.
And it could be a swampy appearance in the finals, possibly.
I mean, you don't do Euro aways, do we? Like the Dennis Bergkamp of
That's
FC
right.
Radio. We don't do aways in Europe. But we've enjoyed ourselves doing home matches in European competition, that's for sure. Now, let's talk about team news. Not much has changed from the team that took on Hyde United last week. Charlie Oliver unavailable today due to work commitments, but it's still a good team with Jan Palinkas in there. But he looks like he's going for it. He's playing two up front. He's playing Gilboy. He's playing Buckley together, with Bennett and Gabadon on the wings.
Of course, my belief is we should always play two up. But
you're out of line. You're off the air. Should I turn him off?
It's the equivalent of playing in their heads, think 2-3-5, I think. You know, it's revolutionary. Well, I think you actually score more goals. But the proof of the pudding, of course, is on the pudding in front of us.
Whoa, wait a minute. There's layers to that pudding, isn't there, Paul?
But, I mean, I think if Gilboy can forge a good relationship with Buckley together,
yes,
rather than 20-30 yards apart.
That's the thing, isn't it? Buckley holds up the ball so well.
Yeah.
And there's times as well where he could get the ball down, and even though there's like two defenders in front of him, he'll work out a way of getting past them. It's then a case of, what do I do next? Because there's a third player come over and I've got no one to pass to.
Gilboy's got to be told today.
Yes.
To track him.
Yes.
Everywhere he goes,
follow him. Absolutely. In central midfield, Charlie Munro and Dec McLaughlin. I think it's a big end to the season for Munro and McLaughlin, because the midfield, you know, Donoghue being injured, Ennis not playing as many games, Griffiths departing. The midfield is a bit up in the air, I'm going to suggest, heading into next season.
Yeah, I think McLaughlin has got a contract for next season, I think I'm right
in
saying.
Yeah, he has, 2 years.
But we are a bit short in the midfield in terms of numbers. So this summer there are going to be opportunities to break into the squad from outside, and likewise up front as well. I would say I think there are potentials there. I think defensively, I think he's got probably the two fullbacks for next season.
Yep,
I would guess.
I think Jan Palinkas is a shoo-in.
He's got a choice of three at centre back.
I think all three of the centre backs are fine.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily think the defending's been that bad this season.
He's going to have to find a goalie.
Yes.
And I would prefer not a lone goalie.
Yes.
Personally.
Let's talk about Bamber Bridge. One player in particular, unfortunately, Adam Dodd and Ali Wadika unavailable today. But Michael Potts does, of course, start. Sent off in the match, the 3-0 draw back early on in the season. Wasn't much in that sending off, to be fair. He'll be wanting for a better game today against his old side.
I'm sure it'll be a fascinating contest between him and Munro in the middle of the park. That'll be a battle of wills. Potts' experience is very, very valuable to Bamber Bridge. He can drag them into games they're not supposed to be in. But having said that, he's got some other good players around him. I think Macaulay Wilson had a good game against us at the back.
Simon Grant's an interesting one because he was in interim charge at Lancaster, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he's disappeared, so I don't know what's happening there. They appointed a manager.
Chris Wilcott, former Stalybridge worker to manager.
Obviously, he's surplus to requirements now then.
It was Grandy and Teague, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Teague left for Clitheroe, and obviously Simon Grant's turned up at Bamber Bridge. It is going to be one of them games, Paul, which I don't really know what to expect. We've got to do a good job today of selling it to the listener. Can you sell it to the listener?
Well, what I can say is that the sides have met 12 times and nobody's won away yet. There's a stat for you.
This is FC Live. Don't forget, live team stats are available for this afternoon's game at liveteamstats.com. Thanks to our friends at Constructed Coding and Stato Paul, of course. But it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. This is FC United taking on Bamber Bridge here at Broadhurst Park. And it's now time to hand over to Stato Paul, and here's James Quinn.
Ball is cleared by Chris Churchman, and that's a nice bit of work there from Malarkey Matthews. Malarkey Matthews takes a return ball into the area. Malarkey Matthews shoots, hits the post. Good work there from Malarkey Matthews. So here we go. Malarkey Matthews slides it back, and now it's going to be a shot from Callum Lee, just wide. Nice back heel intervening from Jack Baxter there, and it wasn't a bad effort from Callum Lee, just to the just wide of the keeper's left hand upright there. Churchman back in down the flank. Jones intervening well. Good pull with a Gabidon. Gabidon, can he? Well, he's been driven backwards. Jones out to Hall. Back to Gabidon. Gabidon, heavy touch. Good, great work. Brilliant from Gabidon to go past two men. First time ball. Bennett, edge of the box. Thinks about his shot. Can't get the power. Great work from Gabidon there. Guy Hall throwing down the line. Potts, Hall, Gabidon, Buckley now with a speculative volley. Gilboy's after this. Gilboy, can he get there? Keeper in bravely. Gabidon.
And ball outside the box.
Oh dear, there's a few things here. There's
a foul by the keeper. Red card. It's got to be a red.
Has handled the ball outside the box.
It's got to be a red card.
Wry smile on the bench there. But
what a remarkable decision by the goalkeeper there. Gilboy is down injured from the initial challenge with a keeper,
and then there was a shot from Gabidon which Aidan Hunt dived to save, but a full metre outside his box there, just a reaction I think, and he goes off, and it's 10 men, and also who goes in for Bamber Bridge? Simon Grand is going in goal, so clearly not a goalkeeping substitute, and they're down to 10 men with a makeshift keeper. Well, FC now have a real advantage. Looks as though going to be a free kick on the edge of the box, right in the D. It's difficult to get up and down. It's right on the edge of the box, so it's tricky, but that's got to be the aim to test Simon Grand. It's McLaughlin or Charlie Munro. Munro, oh yes, simple as that, over the wall and far away into the corner. Well, that was textbook, Paul.
Well, it was. I think it helps when you've got a rookie keeper who doesn't know whether to go left or right, and he didn't go anywhere ultimately.
And it's FC United and Manchester 1, Bamber Bridge 0. Ball now back on the halfway line. Sinclair Baxter has drifted across to the right-hand side. Now it's Callum Lee, dispossessed by Jordan Buckley. First time ball, Gilboy through. Chance, get onto his left foot, Gilboy! And it's a corner, good defence there, Macaulay Wilson. Jones floats it down that left flank. Churchman picks it up, but Buckley flicks it forward nicely. Bennett into the box. Bennett, chance for Bennett! Yes! It's a really, really assured finish from Aaron Bennett. The ball was given away. Good work from Buckley, who played the right ball, and good composure from Aaron Bennett. Took it down and waited for the moment, waited for the gap, and just placed it to the keeper's left, and it's 2-0 FC United. Infield there for Potts, and now Baxter picks it up. Now Potts in the centre circle, out to the right-hand side. Edwards infield, foot in from Hall, good work from him. Gilboy, McLaughlin, that's for Gilboy to chase. Now this time Gilboy into the box, right footed, 3-0. And that much needed goal that we were talking about for Lewis Gilboy comes, did everything right there, Lewis Gilboy. And the manager puts two arms in the air as if to say, that's what I've been looking for from you, Lewis Gilboy. FC United now 3-0 ahead. Just under 25 minutes to go. Curtis Jones, nice ball out there. Ferguson takes it beautifully on his chest. Ferguson, real chance, near post, tries to get it in there, and he's furious with himself that he couldn't control the rebound. He went near post and made it more difficult for himself. I think if he goes across the keeper there, much better chance of finding the net. Macaulay Wilson. Oh, great first time, that's Munro. And Gabidon in the clear, one-on-one, surely for 4-0. Gabidon, oh, straight at the keeper. But Ennis has won the ball back. Shoot! Gabidon, second bite of the cherry! Gabidon just can't find a way through. He wants to go in himself. There were options there. Bob Jammer waited. And Gabidon will get a flea in his ear for that from one or two of his colleagues, you feel. And they're going, but they're not even waiting for the full 3 minutes. FC United there, mission accomplished. And almost a sympathetic shake of the hands from Neil Reynolds for his counterparts and the Bamber Bridge bench. A game that changed markedly with the dismissal of Aidan Hunt for handling outside the box. That led to a free kick, which was immediately taken and well taken by Charlie Munro into the top corner. More goals for FC. Aaron Bennett in the second half, 54th minute, and then 62nd minute, Lewis Gilboy. FC threatened to really to run up a cricket score. It wasn't to be, but FC in control of the game. And Bamber Bridge, really, once they going down to 10 men, losing the goalkeeper, and then conceding that first goal, after that, Bamber Bridge were not a force in this game. And FC did what they had to do and completed a 3-0 victory. Final score here, FC United and Manchester 3, Bamber Bridge 0. Paul, your final thoughts.
It's a hard game to assess because basically the visitors imploded. And once they did, with the red card, the door was wide open for FC to exploit. And that's pretty much what they did. And the second half was quite a comfortable ride for the home side, I would say. They had space to exploit, a man advantage, a vulnerable keeper. And there was never any real doubt from half-time onwards where the points were going.
We've given man of the match to Joe Ferguson. Curtis Jones is also
very close,
a strong candidate, yeah, as is Guy Hall. Yeah. I think going back to our discussion at the start of the day, there's not much wrong with that back line, I don't feel.
The only reason,
when Oliver's in as well.
The only reason in the second half I've tilted towards Ferguson rather than Guy Hall is most of our attacks went down the right-hand side. Yeah. That's yes, the only real reason. But, yeah, I think there were... We saw some good performances and some indifferent performances in the side today. But obviously when you get handed a massive advantage as we did due to circumstances, it's hard to turn it down.
Before that advantage was given to us, I mean, there's no doubt at all it was a sending off, whether it's for the kung fu kick or the handball after it. We were on the back foot at the start of this game, but to be honest, both teams were really lethargic. It was just a meh game. And it needed something like that, but it came on the back of, actually, I think it was Gabidon down here, barging down this left-hand side. That just picked everyone up, and then a few minutes later, we get that incident. And it just needed a bit of a spark, didn't it, this game?
I think we just showed that little bit more urgency just before the first goal came. And when it did come, it was like, well, yeah, you could feel it. You could feel something was going to happen. And it did, but not in the way we expected it to.
No, well... Then, obviously, we took advantage in the second half and got two more goals. I think, to be fair, the pick of the bunch is Munro's free kick just before half-time.
Yeah, that was real professionalism. He knew exactly what he needed to do. It wasn't He didn't need a powerful strike, he needed accuracy.
Here's an interesting thing for you. If there was a goalkeeper in there, an actual goalkeeper rather than Simon Grand, would he have took a free kick like that? Because that was a beautiful free kick.
No, I think he would have gone for power and hoped
probably would have missed
a nick off the wall or something. Could have gone over the bar. But yeah, I mean, we could have punished him even heavier than three.
We let Grand off a couple of times, didn't we?
We did.
I mean, Gabrydon was through, and I think he went for a nutmeg on him, and Grand wasn't having any of it.
Yeah, he was taking liberties a bit.
I think, to be fair, the Bamber Bridge makeshift goalkeeper has had a decent afternoon, to be fair.
He did. It's unfortunate when you lose a game through that kind of situation happening, but the referee has to apply the laws, doesn't he? And that's it.
Well, that's this afternoon, a 3-0 win. Next up is Guiseley next week at Nevermore. And then we close things off against Lancaster here on the 27th. Just to say, we've had an extraordinary afternoon in the Northern Premier League elsewhere. Congratulations to Radcliffe. They've won.
We won't be going there next season.
Won't be going there next season. That's fine. 2-1, they beat Whitby to seal the league title. So congratulations to them. Warrington Islands have been beaten this afternoon by Lancaster City. But Warrington Rylands have made the playoffs regardless. More on that shortly. Macclesfield, an outstanding game this, because Baysford 1-0 up at one point, which would have relegated Stafford Rangers, Bradford Park Avenue and Atherton Calls all in one swoop. However, Macclesfield got three goals and won.
So the fight goes on.
The fight goes on down the bottom. Macclesfield are in the playoffs, confirmed. Also, more or less in the playoffs today, Marine, a 3-0 win for them. That's because Hyde United have been beaten 4-1 against Gainsborough Trinity. Can Ashton United capitalise? No. They've been beaten at home by Ilkeston by 2-1. Can Worksop capitalise? No. They've been beaten 4-0 away at Morpeth. So talk about stumbling over the line.
It's just like the jitters at the top of the Championship table, isn't it?
Exactly. And the real winners today are actually Lancaster City, who at the start of the day, real outside chance of getting into the playoffs. They've got one game left, that is here on the 27th. They're 2 points outside the playoffs.
It could mean a lot to them.
It could. I mean, admittedly, Ashton have got 3 games left to play, Worksop have got 3 games left to play. Hyde, though, their last game is next week.
But you've got to get points on the board.
Yeah, they might have blown it today, Hyde. Yeah. I mean, that's a big defeat there. But Ashton United and Worksop not helping themselves. Guiseley had a chance, but they were drawing. They've ended up getting beat 2-1. So
let's hope they're at the beach next week.
Yeah, they might be. Down the bottom, Baysford losing. Stafford Rangers couldn't capitalise. They've been beaten. Bradford Park Avenue obviously didn't play. Atherton Colls won 1-0. So they're still in it.
There's still hope.
Still clinging on. So congratulations to Chaddy. Yeah, everyone at Atherton Calls. So, Paul, thank you for joining us.
Okay, see you next week.
And we'll see Paul again next week at Guiseley. Neil is making his way up the stairs now, so let's hand over to James and Neil for the post-match interview.
I'm going to put it to you, Neil, that this was a game of three acts. But the first act was, I thought, Bamber Bridge were the more hungry side for 25 minutes. FC started to come into it, and then everything changed with the sending off.
So, first 25 minutes, credit to Bamber Bridge, they changed the style. They went with inverted fullbacks. So, they played with a back three and inverted fullbacks instead of outside fullbacks. So, it threw us. And I thought it took us 20 minutes for Dec McLaughlin and Charlie Munro to jump on the 8 and the 10. It took us 20 minutes for the two wide men to stop the two centre halves from coming out. And then 20 minutes for our two fullbacks to jump on their two wide men. When I got that message on, we went up a gear. And before the sending off, we were up a gear already. We were winning every second, winning every first contact. We're making good balls. And that ball over the top when you've got Gilboy's pace is threatening. Second part of the game, the sending off. Great free kick from Munro. We then took our chances. And then the third part of the game, I just thought we were totally dominant in the second half. And it's hard against 10 men, but don't forget, we went to Bamber Bridge this season when they went out to 10 men and we didn't capitalise and could have lost it in the last minute. So have we come a long way? Don't know.
You must have been very pleased with Munro's choice, really. Very professional. No, it's sort of staring in the face. Keeper, the guy's just coming in. He's not a goalkeeper. Just get it on target. But he put it in just the right spot, didn't he?
He did. It was a great free. What I liked about the free kick was how he came over and went, "Gaff, I'm having this." And he's not one of our set-piece specialists. And he came over and led with responsibility. And listen, Charlie Munro is an absolutely brilliant football player who has massively underperformed this season at FC United. Now, that's not me calling him out before anyone says. We haven't seen the standards that Charlie Munro can set, but we brought him to the football club. Whether or not it takes time to adapt, you know, we go through the second season, we're not playing in front of this crowd, whether or not he's been frustrated with his own performances, but you can see, even at 0-0, what a performance it was from Munro. And I've got to now work with him to get the best out of him, because if we've got him, we don't need another eight. But if we've got Munro, where we know that he's hitting his level, we need an eight who come from the bench, and sometimes you have to sacrifice him. But as a footballer, and people will know, you have dips, and sometimes you have season dips. It doesn't mean he's a bad player. He's played at National League level all his career, and does he take time to settle? Yeah, he's a popular member of the dressing room. I really enjoyed his performance today. Love him when he plays like that. So it's our job now, and it's hard when you're part-time to coach these players, but you know, this is Munro coming into his own. I thought he was outstanding in midweek, and he's followed up with another great performance today. So from our midfielders, we want them to, if we will, technical terms, James, operate between the lines, operate between the two goalposts to enable the three behind the one to rotate. And I think when we're at our best, our midfield pairing do that.
Back line, I thought, was almost flawless today. I'm sure you've seen some flaws, but
I'll tell you what I just said in the dressing room. Curtis Jones, by far and away, the best player on the pitch today. By far and away. Nothing against Joe Ferguson. Their bench said it. We have got, when you have got Curtis Jones, the best centre half in the league, playing that well, that fit, he's got another 5-6 years. But FC United are not as good without Curtis Jones. I'll argue with anybody until they're blue in the face. And if you think I can go find another Curtis Jones, wave a magic wand somewhere. Because unless you let him go to replace his money with somebody else, you can't. So what do we want? Do we want him to hopefully stay injury-free? Which we do. He's had bad luck with his knee. But what an exceptional talent. You know, and he's, what, 30 years old. I've just said in the dressing room, I've made a big point of it. He's the best. And everyone clapped. Everyone clapped because they know how much a colossal and an important player Curtis Jones is for this team. And I'm sorry when we haven't won games and he hasn't played, or Donny hasn't played, or Gabidon hasn't played. But that's where we are. We've tried to sign the best players on what we've can. And when they're not available, it's been hard. But when they are, a masterclass performance.
Yeah. I think it was a majority. There was one of the trio of the radio tree that did go for Jones.
Okay, all right.
It was very tight at the. It's very tight. I thought all four of them played well.
You did,
and you are absolutely right. One day Willie will agree.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But that may be in a sort of another time sphere.
Yeah.
You're talking to Ferguson and Hall though. You seem to have a particularly good line in developing fullbacks who come up from lower, and really do. You really see the development.
It's me having that argument with myself or other people. You know, we play high fullbacks. We play a 4-2-3-1 with our fullbacks going high and wide. And when we lost Oliver in pre-season, had to go to centre-off, we played McLaughlin there. It was hard to get another one. To get that balance, to get Guy Hall going, you need to have a Joe Ferguson to get going. But you can see the two of them, you know, when we line up our shape, they're literally playing as wingers. And our wingers then come inside, and you can see how much joy that Joe Ferguson and Guy Hall got down there. And that's my style of play, and I want to develop these fullbacks. But ask Adam Dodd. You know, you can only do it for 4 or 5 years before, because I'm expecting him to do 12-13k every game. And, you know, these two lads can do it. They're 21, 22, they can do it. It's harder when you get to 27, 28, 29. But you look at all good sides, or all good Premier League sides, or Championship, they've got two flying fullbacks. And if we can keep them, and we can keep Curtis Jones fit and Jan Palinkas fit and Charlie Oliver fit, we've got a chance, you know. But it is all if buts and maybes.
So you won't be playing Radcliffe next season. Opportunity to congratulate the champions.
And I will congratulate him. You know, my two best mates in football, Vernon and Jono. You know, and you know, when times have been tough for me this season, they've picked up the phone and they've kind of ignored the haters and stay strong. And you know, they're my best pairing in non-league football, and I'm delighted for them. No, it's not outside of football as well. The two great guys, and you know, I'm delighted for them. And you say what you want about budgets, you know, they'll tell you they've got loads of money. But with that, they've got loads of pressure, and you're not a bad manager. You've got to handle your budget the right way, and they have done, and they've got up. And absolutely delighted for them. They'll go and have a drink tonight. I'll be on the phone to them. Delighted for them.
And finally, Guiseley away. Guiseley, who have appeared to have, in the vernacular, blown it. They were contenders, but the way things have gone today, that now looks improbable.
A Manchester-Yorkshire derby, But again, FC United come to town with their biggest game of the season. They want to kick us, they want to beat us. Like everybody does, we've got to be more mature. We've got to have more nous with our performances. And we'll go there aiming to finish the season on high, because we said we wanted to win games of football, and pretty much apart from the Ashton performance, which I completely agree with you, I think there's been a turn over the last couple of months. I think since you've seen our players come back, you've seen results now, you've seen a bit of momentum, and you can say what you want, James. It's, I'll always do my best for this football team, and I know that I can bring success, I know I can develop players, and I've never doubted myself, and you know, you can criticise all you want, but I'm happy that the lads now, with that togetherness of bringing it back and the winning games of football, and you know, Saturdays haven't been the best day this season, but today's a good day, so why not, let's go and celebrate.
Congratulations, Neil, thanks very much as ever, and congratulations on the qualification, of course, for the Phoenix Trophy.
Yeah.
Great end to the season in prospect there. We will see you in Yorkshire.
Get your tickets, Book. Let's show Enfield and Lewis that we're the best fan of football team around, and let's take, you know, let's travel in our numbers and enjoy the sunshine while we're there.
All right, thank you.
Cheers.
So much,
thank
Neil.
You.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there speaking to James after his side's 3-0 win over Bamber Bridge on Saturday. As discussed, next up for the Reds will be that away trip to Guiseley this weekend. Kick-off at Nethermoor Park this Saturday will be at 3 p.m. and we will, of course, have full live commentary from the game via the FC Radio website from 2:30 p.m. And speaking of commentaries, the women's team will be in action on Saturday evening as FC United travel to the Eco Power Stadium in South Yorkshire for their crucial league match with Doncaster Bells. Kickoff will be at 7 p.m. on Saturday night, with live commentary available on FC Radio for those of you unable to attend. Well, that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. A big thank you to everyone involved in FC Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.